Hello. Welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station. And I play each week songs I love and occasionally throw in something I call a wombat, which is something odd. And then I have sometimes a co-host, which I think of as a big wombat. And tonight I do have a co-host. My co-host is Ed Davis, a professor of geography at Emory and Henry and a jazz fan. And so Ed will be picking the songs. And the first question I have to ask Ed is, so Ed, how did you get into jazz?
I was raised on it. My father had played some jazz as a trumpeter. He wasn't a professional, but he played in various bands and had a lot of records in the house. He had Dave Brubeck. He had albums from the 50s, and he had seen live jazz, some of the great jazz artists. And so he had that in the house playing on the stereo. And so eventually I just picked all that up. He asked me to back him up on piano for his trumpet. So I started backing him on piano and just playing by ear.
And now you play bass, I know, in the jazz group. Do you play other instruments?
I play some guitar and sing, but for our jazz quartet, now the Wolf Hills Jazz Quartet, I just play bass.
Yeah, well, I heard you the other night and sounded great.
Thanks.
Well, I'm going to let you start off. I'll ask you some more questions later. But right now, you want to introduce your first song and tell us anything you want about your show or anything else.
You're on. All right, so I picked seven songs. Hopefully we'll have time to get these seven songs in. But one of the songs was written in 1935 by Irving Berlin. It's called Cheek to Cheek. Fred Astaire made it famous. But the 1950s, it was recorded by two of the greats in jazz, Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. So this 1956 recording is just a great, I think, if you want to think about jazz, listen to the way he plays with the rhythm and plays with the notes as a singer, and you get a hint about what jazz is about.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together, dance cheek to cheek. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb to mountain, reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Now mama, dance with me. I want my arms about you, the charms about you will carry me through. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we out together, dance cheek to cheek. Take it, Ella, swing it.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. happiness I see. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven. And the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Come on and dance with me. I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Yes,
dance with me.
So that was Cheek to Cheek by Louis and Ella, and many people would recognize their voices as really pop singers. But what they were doing with that song is just a little bit of a glimpse of what jazz is about and what pop music took from jazz, which is to play with the original music, to hang back on the word when it comes in, or to go take a word longer, to change the rhythm of the song and change the notes of the song away from the original written score.
Yeah. One question I was going to ask you later, I'll ask you now. When you listen to a song, do you automatically listen and try and find the bass part and see what the bass is doing?
I sang bass in choirs, you know, when I was younger. But what I was going to say is, if you sing bass in choirs, you're often kind of doing that. Your head is going to hear the bass notes. And so I hear the bass note a little bit more than some people just because I'm trying to figure it out.
I figured you want to see what the bass player is doing so you can see what you might
do. I would like to watch the bass player sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I try and pick out the four voices, but it's hard.
It's hard.
Okay, what do you got next?
So when people think jazz, a lot of them think one of the greatest jazz composers, Duke Ellington. And so I picked a Duke Ellington song from 1953. He wrote it with Billy Strayhorn and Johnny Mercer. Johnny Mercer wrote many of the great pop songs of that era. And this is sort of, it's a very smooth and sophisticated song. It's called Satin Doll. And this arrangement is a big band arrangement from sort of late in the big band era. Rock and roll would come in the 50s. Well, in 53, Ellington was in some ways at the peak of his craft as a middle-aged man who had a lot of experience as a composer. When he writes Satin Doll with these others, he's creating what's considered one of the great jazz songs. But it's a what I included here in our list because it's about dance. So much of jazz has really been, like all pop music, it's been for dancing. And when you listen to Satin Doll, I think you'll feel that it's a song really great for dancing too.
Yeah.
So that was Ellington playing Satin Doll back in 1953. The way jazz changed pop music was to introduce these elements that included so much syncopation and rhythm, unusual rhythms. And we heard that with the first, with the Louis Armstrong. And then we heard some complicated rhythms there, but it was all kind of tight and prearranged sort of stuff. The big bands really were taking jazz and turning it into a more of a conventional, composed sort of thing. And Ellington had solos. You heard him play the piano there, for example. But so much of the joy and freedom in jazz is in that looser structure, and pop music was really looking for that at the time, and so that feels kind of stiff to me to hear that. So I, for my third song, I picked a song from written in 1964 for the television series The Peanuts Specials by Vince Guaraldi. Many people are familiar with those, the jazz that was used in the Peanuts Specials, but this is the performance of it for an album called Joe Cool's Blues by Wynton Marsalis and his father, Ellis Marsalis. So this is, I think, from the late 80s. So this song is called Linus and Lucy, and you can listen to some very tight arrangement, but what you also hear is the return by a genius like Wynton Marsalis, who's a modern jazz performer, to the freedom that really jazz is about, the looseness of playing.
When he plays his solo in here, is he improvising, or if he played this thing again, would he play pretty much the same thing?
No, I'd say he's improvising in there.
Yeah.
Though there might be, there'd be phrases that he was planning on, you know, but yeah, go. So the microphone.
we can fix that.
So when you listen to a tight, that's a septet. There's seven instruments in that band, and they're doing a lot. Two trumpets, saxophone, bass, piano, drums. And they're, what they're doing is tightly arranged in some ways, but there's a, they make a lot of room for this toying around with rhythm and notes and really representing what, you know, the essence of improvisation and freedom that, that jazz is supposed to be about. The next song I picked is actually a Dave Brubeck song, and many people will have heard of Dave Brubeck because of the song Take Five, one of the biggest selling jazz records ever, probably the biggest. So he and Paul Desmond, his saxophonist, record a lot of interesting jazz. They play with rhythm in a more arranged way, but Blue Rondo a la Turk does some kind of groovy things with rhythm that kind of changed the world. This is a 1959 recording, Blue Rondo a la Turk.
Yeah, one thing I noticed in some of these things, like this one, you know, quite often when you hear of a, like, Brubeck, you think the whole thing's going to be Dave Brubeck. He's going to dominate. He's going to be in charge. He's going to be the boss. No, he just, every now and then, he just turns it over. He lets Paul Desmond go. He lets anybody go. And they become the lead and almost take the song.
Most jazz is very democratic in that way. It's very determined to make sure every player, even the bassist, the lowly bassist, gets a chance to solo. I can't remember whether this one has a solo in it, but it's a good song.
Thank you.
So that was sort of a standard jazz standard now called Blue Rondo a la Turk, but not too many people record it because it's a sort of a strange arrangement and be hard to make that sound like your own thing. There was a lot of excitement around Dave Brubeck in the 50s because Take Five, written by Paul Desmond, had such an impact. But Paul Desmond's sax was maybe the most special part of it. His smoothness on the alto was just so charming and it just unarms you. You can't not enjoy the sound of that saxophone.
Yeah. I was a freshman in college when that Dave Brubeck was doing things, and that was my first. I'd never heard jazz. I'd heard Duke Ellington. I heard big bands, but so Dave Brubeck was my first real introduction.
And I think for many millions of Americans, that was really that moved jazz to a new. And you have to say, in a way, it's kind of white. You know, it's not very bluesy in some ways. It's very arranged what we were hearing there, except for Paul Desmond's solos and the drummer's solo, and so. What I thought we should do now is play something that's kind of a different feel. This next song was a 1961 composition by Oliver Nelson, who was a saxophone player who did great composing, and it's called Stolen Moments. It's more of a big band. That last thing we heard was a quartet. It's back to the big band sound, but what I want you to listen for here is the solos. This song has this arrangement early on, but then you move into some really cool solos. But the chords here are really sophisticated, and yet they're very bluesy and go back to the African-American roots of jazz with their complicated syncopation, a very sophisticated use of the notion of the blues.
Yeah, as you know, I'm not a jazz, I don't know a lot about it, but Dave Brubeck is much more intellectual.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
This one feels earthy to me. He's getting more into the soul. He's
yeah, this is more soulful here.
Yeah.
So that was Stolen Moments by Oliver Nelson and his group from 1961. That's a pretty mellow tune with a lot of playfulness in it, but it gives you a glimpse of what jazz musicians are trying to do to really kind of stretch the limits of creativity.
You're listening to Wombats and Music, and that was Ed Davis, my co-host tonight. I'm Harry Baia, the host, and I'll be having more co-hosts, but tonight is Jazz Night. And Ed picked each of these and is introducing them. We're coming to you from WEHC, which is FM 90.7, your college and community station. We're also streaming on the web at WEHCFM.com. And you can also reach us on email, WEHC@EHC.edu. Anytime you want to send us a note, please do. And tonight it's all jazz. And let's see, I'll give it back to Ed. Ed, you want to talk about this a minute? I have another question about you and jazz. When you're playing the bass in your group, do you tend to do the same thing for each song, or are you thinking each time, what am I going to do next? Where are you in there?
I do try to come up with new things. It's part of the fun of being a jazz musician is that you're free to try things up to a point. But the bass has to be the rhythm to some extent. It's the rhythm section, and with the drummer and the in our quartet, the guitar, the three of us make the rhythm happen. So my bass needs to kind of be steady. I can do other things, but I have to be pretty steady at the same time. So I'm still new at it, so I'm just learning. We have such a good saxophone player in Tom Peterson that he adjusts to my mistakes, and it's great balance. You know, if you've got a group of people who are working together, it's one of the most fun projects you can do as a group to be in a jazz quartet.
I always enjoy the bass. I agree. The bass, I mean, from even I can hear, actually holds things together, sort of sets the pattern in the structure everybody has to work in. But then every now and then, of course, what they do is they let the bass player go on his own for a while.
Yeah, I don't do much of that. But it's fun if once you really get good. Maybe in a few years I'll be able to do more of that.
But I have heard that occasionally on jazz bands, and the guy will just go kind of nuts, have a great time, and start doing all sorts of weird things.
Oh, there's some bass players Esperanza Spalding. You might go look her up. She's a young African-American woman who can play the bass like it. I mean, she's just a genius. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, so you can start introducing the next song while I get lined up here to play.
Yeah, so Joy Spring is the next song. It's by a guy written by a guy named Clifford Brown, who was a great trumpet player who died at a young age of 26. This song came out in 1954, and to me, it represents the kind of joyful playfulness that jazz can be good at. And it's a complicated song, and I love playing it in our group. Not everybody does because it's difficult. It's easier for the bassist. But Joy Spring is, there's not a lot I can say about it except that over these next few minutes, you're going to hear some people just take their instrument to some wild. Thank you. So that was Clifford Brown's song, Joy Spring. I think it's a very joyful kind of song. I chose for our last song, My Favorite Things, by John Coltrane. It's the famous song from Sound of Music, written by Rodgers and Hammerstein, came out in 1959. Well, 2 years after it came out in the musical, John Coltrane records it with the soprano sax, and it's just, it got a lot of airtime on the radio because it's a charming and yet really kind of bizarre, almost Eastern sounding feel, because he's doing something kind of new with his music. And so John Coltrane, we're not going to be able to play the whole song. It's a 13-minute song. We're just going to play a few minutes of it here, jumping into the middle, and you'll hear him do it. So that was John Coltrane. I hate to interrupt him, but we're running out of time here. I tell people that if you're struggling to listen to some of the more unusual jazz like that, it takes some time, but there's a lot there. If you can kind of listen to more of it, you can really get a lot out of that. He was a deeply spiritual person, and many people consider him a spiritual leader almost. He was just so brilliant. And
well, Ed, you're introduced. I am your neophyte. I'm your classic guy who knows zip. but to me, he's on a flight of fantasy there.
Yeah.
He's gone off on his own world. He's staying within the melody in some broad sense, and the rest of the group is just holding the bass. They're just holding sort of a rhythm section.
They're like I would call them the string that holds the kite to the earth.
Yeah.
But the kite is up there flying around. And
I thought it was great.
So I think jazz is just a great gift to the world.
Thanks, Ed. You can hear Ed Davis playing with the Wolf Hills Jazz Quartet. And we've had our show tonight, Jazz and Wombats. And now it's time to ask you all to join me in doing what I ask you to do every week. And I'll ask Ed to join us all.
Sure.
And that is in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.